Greetings, travelers! Welcome to another fun deep dive into a subject that fascinates me. That's basically what these Tuesday Eerie Travels are for, or whatever day you're listening on. Just tune in and listen to my crazy rants about things that just happen to catch my attention. Well, this day I decided to do a little deep dive into something that's very esoteric and just something that follows one of my eerie fascinations, and that is the homunculus. Basically, a tiny, artificially created human. They're generally born from alchemy. They've crept through the centuries of philosophy, science, literature, and pop culture, and they've kind of evolved from this symbol of forbidden knowledge into this kind of metaphor for human ambition and identity. I'm going to try to start with its arcane origins and bring it up to some modern incarnations. Some of them you probably know. Just this miniature being just keeps haunting us. Enjoy the homunculus, which is Latin for little man. First gained prominence in the 16th century because of Paracelsus. He was the Swiss physician and alchemist, and he blurred the lines between science and mysticism big time. Back in around 1537, yeah, we're back in the Wayback Machine for this, he wrote a treatise called De Natura Rerum, and Paracelsus described in this a method for creating a homunculus. And the method was used human sperm, steel glass vessel, and then you put it in horse dung as an incubator. And after 40 days, he claimed a tiny human would emerge, which could then be fed wisely to grow and gain intelligence. Now, this recipe was never really meant to be literal. It's alchemical tradition. So it's you looked at these and you experimented on them yourself as a fellow alchemist. Now, what this did was the homunculus kind of symbolizes here the power of transformation, the manipulation of nature, and the pursuit of the divine. They wanted to become a creator. And I think you might detect where this would lead later to some people who knew this study. So a theme that would echo through literature ahead. There are some earlier echoes of homunculus, mostly in Islamic alchemy. They were more artificial life creation and not called homunculi. But they were similar. They replicate life through knowledge. Even in Gnostic traditions, there's some miniature beings often symbolizing the soul or divine spark trapped in the material world. With them, it's not just really a construct. It was just a creature. You know, that's where that was at. We kind of move forward a little bit in time, 17th, 18th centuries. And the homunculus kind of takes on a scientific guise through the theory of what they called informaticism, which early biologists, basically not understanding embryology, they proposed that human sperm, again, contained a fully formed miniature human, a homunculus, if you will, that simply grew larger during gestation. This idea, though, was eventually debunked, and it reflected a mechanistic view of life and kind of reinforced the patriarchal notions of male creative supremacy. But the sperm homunculus became a subject of satire and philosophical debate. Thinkers like Voltaire mocked this as totally absurd. And if every sperm contained a homunculus, then each homunculus must contain another ad infinitum. Love Voltaire. We'll do an episode on him at some point. But we'll get back to that. So then in early 20th century, we get the homunculus reemerging in neuroscience, but not as a creature, but as a metaphor again. Now, this is a neurologist named Wilder Penfield. He mapped the human brain's motor and sensory cortices, and he created these distorted figures known as cortical homunculi. Now, these diagrams are very grotesque to look at, and they show which body parts had the most neural representation. So this resulted in kind of these exaggerated hands and lips and tongues. And although scientific, these images are just so surreal. They're almost Lovecraftian, right? They remind viewers that our perception of the body is not uniform at all, but warped by the brain's priorities. And it's just kind of this modern semi-echo of the homunculus's symbolic power. So we're going to take a quick break, and we're going to get how it transforms now. This scientific background and all that becomes the inspiration. And I think you know where it's going, but there's some others you may not know. So we'll be right back.
Warning, the following ZipRecruiter radio spot you are about to hear is going to be filled with F-words.
When you're hiring, we at ZipRecruiter know you can feel frustrated, forlorn even, like your efforts are futile, and you can spend a fortune trying to find fabulous people, only to get flooded with candidates who are just fine. Fortunately, ZipRecruiter figured out how to fix all that. And right now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free at ziprecruiter.com/zip. With ZipRecruiter, you can forget your frustrations because we find the right people for your roles fast, which is our absolute favorite F word. In fact, 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day.
Fantastic.
So, whether you need to hire 4, 40, or 400 people, get ready to meet first-rate talent. Just go to ZipRecruiter.com/zip to try ZipRecruiter for free. Don't forget, that's ZipRecruiter.com/zip. Finally, that's ZipRecruiter.com/zip.
We're back. Now we have to talk about the homunculi in literature. So pretty much early days, it's kind of goth horror and all that. And I think you're going to know who we're talking about. But first, we're going to go back to Goethe's Faust II. So one of the most famous literary homunculi appears in Johann Wolfgang von Goethe's Faust II. And it's created by the alchemist Wagner. Goethe's homunculi is a luminous, glass-bound being who seeks to become fully human. His journey is philosophical, and it kind of touches on themes of identity, transformation, and the limits of artificial creation. Goethe's homunculus is not monstrous. He's tragic. He's a soul yearning for embodiment. His destruction during a mystical ritual just basically underscores the dangers of overreaching human ambition. And, it's the theme central to Faustian myths and stuff. So, of course, not explicitly called a homunculus, but Mary Shelley's Frankenstein's creature is the spiritual descendant of this concept. Created through unnatural means, the monster is the alchemist's dream brought to life and the consequences thereof. I'm not going to do a deep dive into Frankenstein right here, but Shelley's novel, it's exploring ethical and emotional fallout of artificial life. It, again, casts the homunculus in a new light and not as the triumph of man's genius, but a cautionary tale of hubris. Man, is it good? And there's a reason it's considered the grandfather of all science fiction, or grandmother in Mary Shelley's case. We love it. It's 300 years strong and still going. There's a reason we don't talk about it. So in Gothic fiction, homunculi often appear as familiars or like secret experiments or cursed beings. Probably most famous, H.P. Lovecraft did a few. Algernon Blackwood, he kind of hinted at miniature entities. Most of these things are created by arcane rites and tied to forbidden knowledge. Of course, in Lovecraft's case, cosmic horror was, people were driven mad to be able to create these things. Now, in occult texts, however, homunculi are usually described as kind of these astral constructs or servitors, beings created through ritual to serve a magician's will. Now, these interpretations kind of blur the line between magic and science, which really reinforced the role as kind of this symbol of control and hidden power, stuff like that. Now, we got to talk about pop culture here, because anime, video games, comic books, everybody now uses homunculi. Perhaps the most iconic in anime and manga is from one of my kids' favorites, Full Metal Alchemist. And here, homunculi are powerful humanoid beings created through alchemical transformation. And each one represents one of the seven deadly sins: lust, gluttony, envy, etc. And serves as a philosophical foil to our protagonists. Homunculi are not tiny or glass-bound, but they are big, fully formed, dangerous. And again, they're embodying moral consequences of alchemy and the pursuit of forbidden knowledge. Going kind of back to Paracelsus there, right? So it's just really cool, and it is so stylized and action-packed. I highly recommend giving Full Metal Alchemist a watch, even if you're not a big anime manga fan. It's great. Now, book and video game, we've got The Witchers. So Witcher series, homunculi appear in it. They're usually created by sorcerers, and they're generally guardians in the levels or in the books. I think they used one in the TV show. I haven't watched in a while. I'm going to have to go back and refresh my memory. But again, hubris, a natural creation that created these things. One of my friends loves Bloodborne. I couldn't get into that game at the first, so I never really went back to it. I've seen good things about it. I probably should. But again, homunculus-like creatures all throughout laboratories and decaying mansions there, and are usually malformed and tragic. And again, the game's all about madness and tampering with life and the problems, the consequences of that. That Victorian, grotesque, surreal setting of Bloodborne, it's drawing from that alchemical lore and Gothic literature, which that's the setting of the homunculi. Now, I can't go anywhere without talking about my favorite homunculi, Roger the Homunculus. He is in the comic Hellboy, and he's kind of hidden in a scene in one of the Del Toros when they're walking through the library. You see him back there. But anyway, he's a clay being born and animated by occult energy, and he kind of becomes this gentle giant. He teams up with Hellboy and Abe and the team a bunch. I'm not going to spoil anything for him, but his story is incredible. And we already know Mike Mignola and all the writers for the Hellboy series. They do so well. And of course, sci-fi TV series bring up homunculi, famously X-Files and Fringe. Of course, there are clones, bioengineered humans, or psychic constructs. One of my favorites, an official homunculi, is from the amazing series Todd and the Book of Pure Evil. If you haven't watched that one, give it a shot. It's Buffy the Vampire Slayer by way of South Park. It's incredible. Just that great thing. And their homunculi episode is probably one of the most hysterical things ever. So we've got it. We know what they're for. Their creation, their control. Homunculi are identity and the embodiment of identity. And then, of course, hubris and consequence, from Paracelsus to Frankenstein to X-Files and Hellboy and Todd and the Book of Pure Evil. They're metaphor, artificial intelligence, genetic engineering, digital avatars. These are homunculi. We're building increasingly lifelike machines and virtual selves. The homunculus reminds us of that boundary between creator and creation. And it just shows us that it's kind of porous and maybe a little bit perilous. So thank you all for joining me on this little study of the homunculi and the homunculus. And we've traveled quite a bit on this one. So thank you, patrons and Patreon members, for doing all the things that you do to help us keep going. Even a dollar helps. We appreciate that. Thank you to our sponsors, thank you to all of you who just like, share, and subscribe. If you haven't already, please do. Tell your friends about us. We're happy to grow our audience one person at a time. It's fantastic. And for those of you who have met us at recent events, thank you so much for coming up and shaking our hands or grabbing our books or bringing books for us to sign. We love that. The new book is out and about. We're having a great time with that. With that said, I'm going to wrap it up here. So from the bubbling flasks of Renaissance alchemists to the neon lit screens of anime and video games, the homunculus has journeyed through centuries as a symbol of what? Mystery, ambition, transformation. It's a creature not born of nature, but of imagination. A mirror reflecting our deepest hopes and fears about creation, identity, and control. So whether it's tragic, monstrous, or philosophical, it's a gothic icon and a speculative muse. It whispers from the shadows of history and fiction. And we have to ask, what does it mean to create life? What price must we pay to do so? Can we get it to dance to putting on the Ritz? And we'll see you on the other side.
This Labor Day at Lowe's, shop member-only doorbuster deals for a limited time. Save $50 on an Ego string trimmer, now $169. Plus, get 50% off select Holland pavers. Not a rewards member? Sign up for free today. But hurry, Labor Day doorbuster deals won't last long. Lowe's, we help, you save. Valid through 9/1 while supplies last. Program subject to terms and conditions. Details at Lowe's.com/terms. Subject to change.